Good morning. It's good to see everyone here, especially with after all this rain. I'm glad you're able to make it in, safely make it in. For those who are just joining us, we're in a series called What Must I Do to Be Saved? And what we're attempting to do is just take a scriptural look at what the scriptures say. It's not about doctrine. You can ask different people from different churches, and you'll get a slightly different answer. So I just want to look at what does the Bible say about salvation. Father, I thank you for all those who were able to make it out this morning. I ask a special blessing on them. I ask you to bless this young man who's made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to honor you by being baptized. Father, I just pray that I will decrease and that you will increase, that you will speak through me. And Lord, take the truth to the hearts of every person here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is out of Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Last week, we saw that when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas what he needed to do to be saved, he was told, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." We also found out that the Greek word "believe" means to commit to trust in, and to have faith in. So today, we're going to talk about repentance, which is another thing God requires us to do to be saved. In Bible college, I learned that when we read scripture, especially when preparing a lesson or a sermon, we need to identify the audience, who is being talked to, and the why and what is being said. And I found this to be a valuable tool over the years, and it helps us to keep scripture in context. I want to look today at what Jesus said within the context of this text. The Greek word translated repent means to think differently, to reconsider. In a moral sense, it means to feel sorry or guilty about something. So it has a couple different meanings in this one word. Jesus, the promised Messiah, is speaking to the Jewish people. And now if you're familiar with this, the Jewish people had the law of Moses, they had the prophets, they were in a covenant with God. So we want to keep that in context. He's speaking to people that already knew God or were supposed to know God. They had their Bible, they had their temple worship, they had their ceremonies, and for the most part, they thought they were in right standing with God, or that they were righteous. And Jesus comes to these people, and he says, "Change your minds, reconsider, and believe the gospel. Believe, commit to this. You have to put your trust in this, in what I'm telling you, and also in who he was." Jesus proclaimed first that the words of the prophets had been fulfilled with his arrival. Many of the prophets talked about the arrival of the Messiah. And that was another thing the Jews had to believe, was that he was their Messiah. And when you read through the Gospels, they were split on that. A few thought he was, and a few said he's just a great prophet. He's a good teacher. And I hear people say that today. You can ask different people, "Who do you think Jesus is?" And I've had people say, "Well, he was just a teacher," or "He was a good man. He lived a good moral life, and we should try to imitate that." Or, "He was a prophet." And it's really important for you to understand who Jesus is. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. And God himself became flesh and walked among us." Jesus told the Jews, "Unless you believe that I am the one I claim to be, you're still in your sins." Now that seems kind of harsh to us. But for a man to make that kind of a proclamation, he's either deluded or he's telling the truth. I choose to believe he's telling the truth. I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, God in the flesh. I believe that he died on a cross for my sins, shed his blood, was buried, and 3 days later he was raised from the dead. That's what I believe. That's what I commit to. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptizer. I know a lot of us, we call him John the Baptist, but the Greek literally says John the Immerser or John the Baptizer. I don't have a problem with calling him the Baptist, but I've known Baptists that brag about that and say, well, John was a Baptist. And when I was in the Nazarene church, I used to say Matthew 3:23 says of Jesus, he was a Nazarene. So, you know, if you want to throw names around, well, we can do that. John was the prophet that Isaiah talked about, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Malachi prophesied that he was the Elijah who was going to come before the Messiah. So when John showed up preaching, he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John said the same thing the Lord said. When he started preaching, he said, you need to repent and you need to believe. So what Jesus said wasn't new. Now you got to know that went crossways with some people. You've been raised in this faith all your life, or most of your life, and then this rabbi comes along and says, no, you need to think differently. You need to change your mind. You need to reconsider what you've been taught, and you need to believe what I'm saying to you. That's a big order. As I said, many of the Jews said, well, he's a good teacher. Others said, well, he's demon-possessed. He's crazy. That's why he says the things that he does. And it's up to each and every individual in this room, if you haven't yet, to decide who Jesus is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's not your denomination. It's not the ceremonies you go through. It's not how you dress. Jesus said, I am the only way you can get to God. Do you believe that? I do. Yeah. Some people don't. Well, John came preaching a baptism of repentance. He came before Christ, and he preached and baptized at the Jordan River. It said the people came to him confessing their sins. Now, that shows me that in the word repentance, it means to feel sorry or guilty. That showed me they felt sorry for their sins and they felt guilty, or they wouldn't have confessed them as sins. They knew that these were Jewish people who grew up with the Bible, with the Old Testament that we call it, the Law of Moses. They knew what God said to do and not to do, and they came to John and said, I haven't been doing this. Now, God promised them if they would do that, he would forgive them. You know, the religious leaders had a big problem with that, because they were teaching people, well, you have to come to the temple and offer the sheep and the goats and the bulls, which you did in that covenant, the blood, the shedding of the blood. And when John came preaching his baptism and saying, this is for the forgiveness of sins, the preachers that live in said, well, now, wait a minute. That's not what we teach. You know, who do you think you are? And the religious leaders went as far as to call John demon-possessed. It's kind of funny when people don't agree with something or they dislike something it's said, they want to jump that far ahead. I had a woman told me years ago that she said, you know, usually when you speak, I sense the Holy Spirit, but that was a demon talking through you then. I said, well, thank you, because they said the same thing about my Lord, so I take that as a compliment. She didn't like what she heard. Now, am I saying I'm always right? No, but the Word's always right. The Word of God is always right. I have opinions like everybody else, and something I learned in Bible college, my opinions aren't as holy as I thought they were. The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is truth. So John, he comes preaching a baptism of repentance, and I brought an excerpt out I want to read to you. This is what John said to the people coming to him, because John wanted them to understand repentance was more than changing your mind. It was more than feeling guilty for your sins. This amazes me that he talks to this people this way that come to him to be baptized. He said, you brood of vipers. Now that tells you the condition they were in. Vipers are snakes. He said, you bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. That was one of the biggest boasts that the Jews made. Abraham's our dad. Abraham's our ancestor. God considered him righteous, so I'm righteous. But you know, the Bible says that the children of God are not born of the flesh, but of the Spirit. So John, early in his gospel, said to the Jew, it doesn't matter. And that's what John the Baptist said. He said, don't brag on that, because God can raise children to Abraham out of these rocks. So your pedigree doesn't mean a thing to God. He said, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John's announcing judgment's coming. Jesus Christ is not only the Word of God made flesh, He is God's final Word. Yeah. There's no other sacrifice for sins. You cannot get to God, you cannot be forgiven except through Jesus Christ. If you try to go any other way, that is an insult to Him, that is a slap in the face, and you won't make it. You'll get to be before God, but you ain't going to like the outcome. All right, this is what the Word's saying. So John's telling people, judgment's here. And God, in the Old Testament, He signaled that when His Son arrived, it was a signal that His judgment was coming. But in His mercy, He said, I don't want to judge you, I want to save you. And the crowds asked Him, what then shall we do? And He answered, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to Him, teacher, what shall we do? And He said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked Him, and what shall we do? And He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. So we see that true repentance here constitutes not only a change of mind and a sorrow and a guilt for our sins, but a changed life. That's what John would say. He said, don't come here and tell me you repent. Show me you repent. And God requires the same thing of us. Am I saying that believers are perfect? No. But we should have the same hatred for sin that God does in our lives. I'm not saying we need to be judgmental and critical and jump on people. We need to sweep the dirt off our own back porch. One of my uncles used to say, yeah. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have a right to judge sin. Too many times other people say, well, preacher, judge not that you be not judged if you point out sin. That's not what Jesus was talking about. But true repentance is a change of mind. You stop fighting with God. It's belief. It is a sorrow or a guilt for your sins. And if you truly have that sorrow, it means you commit, I'm not doing this anymore. This is sin. This offends God. I'm not going to do it. And it also means I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to live the way God's called me to live. So see, there was more to repentance than what some people thought. And I think sometimes in the church, we're too ready to use that word when we're talking to outsiders. Well, you need to repent. They don't have a clue what that means. And some church people don't have a clue what that means. It's just one of them church words we throw around. Well, it's in the Bible. Sure it is. But do you know what it means? That's what we're looking at this morning. Jesus said, you need to change your mind. You need to reconsider what you know or think you know, and you need to believe in me. You need to commit to me. You need to trust in me. And John is saying the same thing to this crowd. Jesus later rebuked the religious leaders of his day for not believing John. He said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. How many of you know they didn't receive that too well? Jesus said, hookers and IRS workers are going to get into heaven before you do. Man, that insulted them, because they thought they were righteous. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. There it is again. So Jesus said, you didn't repent, and you didn't believe. These two things are necessary for salvation, and there's more. We're going to talk about obedience next week, and then the week after that, we're going to talk about baptism. So these men refused to repent or to believe. How important is repentance? I'm talking true repentance. Not just, it doesn't do you any good, it doesn't do me any good to say, oh God, I'm so sorry for what I did, and then turn around and do it again. God, I'm sorry I did that, turn around and do it again. God, I'm sorry I did that, turn around and do it again. You know what the scriptures say? He who confesses and forsakes his sin will find mercy. That's not me, that's the scriptures. See, we have to line up with God. Paul said to the believer, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be worldly, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? The Word. You get into the Word, you believe the Word. When the Word says it's sin, you repent. That's true repentance. And God said, you'll find mercy. John said, Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How important is repentance? Jesus said it was essential to salvation. He was at a feast, and it says some people came to him and told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. I read about this in the historian Josephus, and it was during Passover, and Pilate had some 10,000 people's throats cut, and their blood mingled with the animal blood, just to show them the Romans are still in control. So these people come to Jesus and say, did you hear what happened? These Galileans' blood was shed and mixed with their, with the sacrificial blood. And Jesus said to them, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? People have that mentality. Well, God must be mad at them. Boy, they must have been doing something wrong that God allowed this to happen to them. Doesn't have a thing to do with it. That's what Jesus said. He said, do you think it's because they were worse sinners? No. He said, I tell you, but unless you repent, now he's talking to these people that's come up and told him what's happened, you will likewise perish. Man, I was just trying to tell you what happened, and now you're jumping on me. He said, do you think that when the Tower of Siloam fell and killed those 18 people, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who were in Jerusalem? No. I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Paul affirmed this in his letter to the church at Corinth when he said, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. Repentance that leads to salvation, Paul said. Without regret. Godly sorrow leads to salvation without regret. Worldly sorrow leads to death. You want an example of that? When Judas betrayed the Lord, it said later he repented. He changed his mind, and he went to the priest and he said, I've sinned against innocent blood. Take your money back. And they said, that doesn't mean a thing to us. You take care of it. And if you're familiar with it, Judas went out and hung himself. That's worldly sorrow. Judas went out and committed suicide. That's worldly sorrow. Paul said, that's the kind of sorrow the world shows. That's the kind of grief you can be brought to if you stay in the world, if you keep your mind in the world. What must we do to be saved? Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. Now here's a question we need to ask ourselves. Have we truly repented? Now that's an individual question. Only you know the answer to that. Jesus said that unless we do, we shall all perish. And that was Jesus saying that. That wasn't me. Ask yourself this through the week, if you want to think about this. Have I really repented, Lord? Have I given up the world? Is my mind set on you? Do I study your word or do I watch TV most of the time? Because whatever you spend the most time in is what it's going to produce. You spend all your time in the world, you're going to think like the world. Spend your time in the Word, then you're going to think like the Lord. If you accept the Word and believe the Word. And if you'll repent. What a righteous God God is that He offers salvation to everyone here. Yeah. I have trouble sometimes grasping that He reached out to a vile man like me and offered me salvation. And I took it. And I've never looked back since then, and I've never regretted that decision.